Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are back with you again. It's Lockdown Series, episode 12. Can you believe that? We've done 12 of these little buggers. And wow. Tonight, it seems, we have an international man of mystery among us. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It has been quite a last few days. We're keeping it busy here with another episode of our lockdown series. Joining us this evening is Miss Princess Guna herself. Amanda, welcome back to the show.
Hello. Good evening.
Very Crown-like. Are you watching that on Netflix right now?
Yep. Love it.
I don't. That's another show. We'll do that. Another lockdown series episode. And Super Kevin Campbell.
Love it.
I did not send you the memo about the hat, but it seems we both got the memo about the hat today.
Oh, I've been in this hat all day, so trust me. I got back and I was just on another podcast before with Claude, and I decided to leave the hat on. So
I love it. It looks good. Was you with
Claude and Terry?
Yeah.
I love Terry.
With Dan as well. Dan yeah. Potts.
So, oh, good.
Yeah.
Love a bit of Dan Potts.
You're getting around today, aren't you, Casey?
I have been, darling. I have. Yes.
You'll be busy tomorrow, too.
Very busy.
All right. Here we go. So also here with us tonight, maybe Amanda, you can introduce this fella for the old Highbury Squad listeners this evening.
Be kind, Amanda.
I'm always kind to you, Gav. You know that.
I know you are.
Welcome to the show, the avatar that is She-War.
Hey, thank you very much. Thank you for having me, everybody.
Welcome, Mr. Gavin.
I just can't believe I'm on a podcast talking to Mr. Kevin Campbell. Do you know what I mean? It took me a while to get my head around that, but, you know, growing up watching him and all that from the North Bank when I was a teenager and everything. So, I'm a bit excited, actually. Do you know what I mean?
Do us a little. We're the North Bank. Go on.
We're the North Bank Highbury.
Well, as you can see by
my... Do you know what? I'm quite offended.
To the clocking.
Gavin, that you're not excited to be on with me and Soph. What's he got?
Hey. By the way, PG, Gav might not know, but you know, I support him in the Highbury and the East Stand. And you might not know that, Gav, but I do buy your merchandise.
Do you?
Yeah.
Ah. He shops under an anonymous name. Uh-huh.
Mystery shopper.
No, I don't.
And you haven't got the discount, Casey.
No, Gavin. I don't want discount.
All right.
I want to pay what everybody else pays.
Look, this is one of his as well.
Hey, nice well little... done, PG. Lovely. Yeah. Highbury.
Very nice. Yes. Very
I've
nice.
I've got all the T-shirts as well.
That's a nice colourway, actually. The grey and red.
Grey and red. Cool, isn't it?
Yeah, nice.
Look at me advertising She-War tonight for my new phone case.
I should be paying you.
I know.
You should be. Well, look, we can talk about that later. Gavin, welcome to the show. It's been a long time coming. We're huge fans of yours. And of course, you and Amanda have known each other for a long time. Apparently, Kev's been a customer for a long time. And
I never know. If I knew, I would have chucked a bit extra in. Do you know what I mean? I'm going to have a check through my emails later.
You better. Let's start here. And then the conversation will roll organically in terms of you being a Guna. You are definitely a Generation X Aguna. We've had some really cool conversations leading up to this show. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about how it all began? Why Arsenal? What happened? Did you get hit on the head as a boy? Was your mum and dad like crazy Gunas? Tell us how it all started for you.
Right. All my family are Arsenal. They have been for generations. My great-grandmother, who was born in the 1890s, was an Arsenal supporter, and all that generation, my grandma's generation and my parents, were all born and brought up around Holloway. So it was really no choice. Everybody's been Arsenal from day dot. They all come from sort of like the Market Road, Brecknock, Cali region of Islington. So yeah, I mean, I'd say my granddad used to take my mum when my mum was little. My granddad went games with his dad and his uncles before World War II broke out. So yeah, it's like I say, I mean, our family's literally been following Arsenal. I mean, my granddad said that his dad used to go and watch Arsenal at Woolwich because you could get the train easy to Woolwich. But I'm not sure in my granddad's later years how many brain cells he had left, to be fair. But yeah, basically, the whole family's been following Arsenal from day dot, really.
So your granddad, would he have stood in the 19 when they built the Art Deco stand in 36? Was that?
Yeah.
Was he,
yeah. My granddad and their family used to stand in the corner between the clock end and the east stand. That was their sort of little spot in the corner, where eventually that Jumbotron and the police box went. But that's where they all used to sort of meet on a Saturday. And then they used to, I think they basically just spent the whole afternoon drinking, to be fair. It was one of those. That's what blokes in Islington did back then. They all went to the football and yeah, it's just sort of carried on, really.
So talk us through, who took you to your first game? Your grandparents then?
No, I did. Basically, I'm about the only person in my family that wasn't born in Islington. Everyone else was born in Islington, but because my dad was quite a decent footballer, we ended up moving out to Ilford, and we played for Ilford Football Club and Ilford Council. But my dad did get offered terms at Leighton Orient when later on we were a second tier team. And he played for them in a friendly and scored from the halfway line, believe it or not, as a left back. But the money playing for Islington Football Club and Islington Council was more money than it would be playing for Leighton Orient. So my dad went for the money. My mum and dad split up. My granddad, my grandma and granddad, who moved out this way as well. My granddad worked every Saturday. He was a very hard working man, my granddad. So no one would basically take me. And then, of course, you're talking that when I sort of started showing an interest in going, it's sort of like 1980, 81, 82, around that time. And it wasn't too safe to be taking kids to football and all that malarkey. So I basically got myself a paper round, age 13. And on a Saturday, I should tell my mum I was going out. And me and my mates, we had this rule, be at the station for 12 o'clock. And whoever was at the station, we'd all go together, go to the game and come back again. So, but that was sort of, you can't get your head around that now. When my kids get to 13, and they say, Dad gives a tenner, we're going out for the day, and they want to run about around London on the trains, I'd go nuts. But back then, it's just what we did as 13-year-olds. We just sort of got, you know, we bunked the train to Highbury, to Arsenal Station. No one paid. We had about three junior gunner passes between us, which we used to pass back, so we all got in for 50p. And that was it. So my paper round used to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. Can't get the violins out, yeah. cycle around all weathers. And used to give me 5 or 6 quid, which I used to spend going Arsenal. So I got away with it for about a year. My mum didn't realise for about a year I was going Arsenal until I got fed up with doing the paper round and I started asking her to pay for it.
That's epic.
So basically, yeah, I was, like I say, was going up there and back on my own and London away games from the age of about 13.
You busted yourself then.
Yeah. I busted myself, mate. Yeah. Well, what it was I wanted to be a junior gunner card so I could get in cheap. But that was like, I think that was sort of like 5 or 6 quid, and you had to pay by a card or get a parent to sign it. And I was like, well, I'm gonna have to tell her now.
So, what year was that you're talking about?
I started going 85.
Okay,
85, 86 season.
So you just came in when George Graham then?
Basically, yeah. I sort of got the early days of George Graham. I don't remember going any games under Terry Neill, I don't think.
George was 86.
86, 87. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's when
you got Don Howe, didn't you? Back end of Don Howe. 85, 86.
I might have done. I remember, like I say, it's all
Charlie Nicholas was still playing then.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, Charlie Nicholas. Charlie Nicholas was there till 88, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But I remember Viv Anderson, because like I say, we used to stay. Yeah, Viv.
Kenny Sampson, Rixey,
O'Leary.
Yeah. Oh, Graham Rix.
Keown was in that team.
Hold on. Yeah. Paul Mariner.
Tony Woodcock was in that team.
Great player. Good lad as well. Yeah.
Stevie Williams. That's right. I mentioned on your podcast last night.
He was
night.
In the underrated, on your underrated list last
Stevie
night.
Stevie Williams
well done,
was a
nice.
Favourite. Stevie's going to get you. Stevie's going to get you. So yeah, so that was that really, but it sort of went from there. And we won't talk about my first job because that didn't last very long. But my second job, the boss of the building site I was on was the father of a youth team player, and he was from South London. Kev, see if you guess who I'm talking about, because you know this fella, you played alongside him. But his old man was a South Londoner. Big old boy, big old bruiser, big black moustache, big bit of hair.
Dave Hillier.
Yeah, I work for Dave Hillier Senior.
Oh, how funny.
I was just talking to Dave today. He's coming on the show next week.
Is he? Oh, he's a lovely bloke. His old man's it was funny.
Funny. Obviously, his old man's funny.
He is, because he noticed me, because obviously I turn up for work with an Arsenal something or whatever on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he goes, my boy plays for the youth team. I was like, oh, okay. I'll keep an eye out for him in the programme sort of thing. And that's when, obviously, at that point, I started noticing the good reports that were coming through on you.
Yeah.
So I'm looking out for, like, Dave Hillier, and then I'm seeing Kevin Campbell this, Kevin Campbell that, and the million goals you scored for the youth team that season. So, that's that. Like I say, so it was very exciting when you started coming through the team as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was sort of, it's living our dreams, isn't it? You lived our dreams.
Gav, a lot of fans often say that because there was no social media at that time, the programme had more significance back then, didn't it? People used to read the programme from front to back.
Yeah. Definitely, mate. I mean, I say you used to get the programme because obviously I had to sort of travel home by train.
Yeah.
And that was my, we generally read, I mean, sometimes we'd get a chance, if it was a low attendance game, we would sit down in the corner of the North Bank and have a flick through the programme before the game kicked off. But like I say, the majority of the time, the whole way home, I would read the programme from cover to cover. Obviously, you'd get to Marlene and you'd hide it, just in case Bush Dan were waiting for you.
Yeah.
Right? But
ICF, do you remember that?
Yeah. Well, it was. I mean, you used to sort of have to hide your colours when you got to Marlin Station coming home, because that was a big West Ham turnaround, and they would sometimes have little groups of them waiting for you. So, but like I say, it was you used to, like I say, you're right though, Kev. The programme was like the Bible.
Yeah,
you read them all. I mean, up until recently, I still had them all.
It was an event to get the program, to see who made the cover, who was going to write the foreword or the letter. That was a really big deal. And like Panini stickers, I used to collect them all, I wish I had them all.
I think my dad still does. Amazing. He bought them all.
Well, could you, Gav, could you remember the program pitch on the corner of Avenel Road, opposite the supporters club?
Yep.
Big Mitch and his dad used to have it. And away programs there, home programs.
Yeah.
He used to have a load of them. That's the first person I ever met at Arsenal. I bought Mitch. Me and my mates bought a program from him. We clubbed together and bought one.
A lot of my early games, I couldn't actually afford a program. Sometimes it was a choice between getting a program and getting chips in the Chinese chippy on the corner on the way
home. On the corner,
And you needed that on a hot day, on a cold day, rather. It's a cold game. You needed them chips just to warm your hands up to get, walking back to Finsbury Park sort of thing. So, it was, I say, it's a shame. I just literally recently just run out of room. and it was something I had to give. And like I say, I know there's my friends Mark and Andy of they've got a website where they've scanned and put in every single program on the website. These two fellas write Arsenal history books. They're probably the most renowned Arsenal history
historians, book writers. Yeah,
definitely. I mean, yeah. They write for the Match program and stuff like that even now. But like I say, because I know they've got them all scanned, I felt sort of safe in, unfortunately, having to offload them. All my away ones went to them. All the away programs I got gathered up, they've took them and they've scanned them and put them on their website, so they're not going to get lost, sort of thing.
So going through the 87-88, let's get to 89, my favourite match ever. Where were you that night then?
Where was I? Right, well, when the original, by then I'd left school and I sort of used to go with my mate Nathan, and we used to, well, that season we went away to Everton and it got a little bit hairy and we got looked after by a load of older chaps from Croydon. And I always remember that, but we sort of talked to them on the train and we've got off the train and we've got a bit leery. Me and my mate Nathan, and they've sort of looked after us for the day, and then they said, right, next game, 1 o'clock, meet us in the Arsenal Tavern. And I'm like, I'm only 16. And it's like, well, no, come on, Arsenal Tavern, blah blah blah. So we used, after that, we'd meet them every game, 3 or 4 pints, and then we started going down the clock end. We was like, me and my mate Nathan were sort of like one of the two youngest in the clock end around that sort of time. But on that year in 89, when the original game was supposed to be played, my mate Nathan, I'm trying to say this nicely, he had a family holiday booked up he had to go on, so we didn't get tickets. So when it come to that night, at that point I was also I used to go army cadets when I was younger. I went army cadets from the age of about 14. Ended up an adult instructor in the army, because that's blah, blah, blah. And I thought we'd blown it, especially after the two games before that, and then with Liverpool hammering West Ham. So I went away with army cadets. So I went away on the Friday about 7 o'clock, and I lived in a field for the weekend. I just thought we'd blown it. I mean, I never thought was a kid. I mean, if you think, by now I'm, what, 16, 17, and the only thing I can remember us winning was the League Cup. I never thought I'd see Arsenal win the league. Do you know what I mean? It felt like, you know, it just took it. So I thought we'd blown it. So I set the video. I went away for the weekend. I got dropped off about 2 miles from my house on the Sunday afternoon and covered in cow and sheep shit, you know, dressed up like a little boy soldier. You can imagine, cam cream on the works. Do you know what I mean? I managed to walk 2 miles through my estate to my house, and I sat down and my mum went, I've got your Sunday dinner on. So my mum used to give me my Sunday dinner. I went, all right, I'm going to put the game on anyway. So she went, oh, all right then. She went, I'll get you a beer out. I was like, what?
Hold on. So, yeah, Let me get this straight. Mum, so you didn't watch it till Sunday?
I didn't watch the game till Sunday.
No. What, you didn't know?
You didn't know the score? No. Love that.
I managed to get, like I say, this estate that I lived on for, like, you know, all my whole life. So if I'd bumped into anybody that I'd known walking those 2 miles home, they would have told me the score.
Yeah.
But I didn't do that. And I watched it all on VHS in my mum's front room and cried my eyes out.
I would have died laughing if the VHS would have cut out 5 minutes before the end.
That's pretty epic.
And then, like I say, my mum obviously hid all the newspapers and everything. She, you know, she was quite discreet about it. And
did she not even, like, give you a hint when you walked through the door or anything?
No, nothing. All she did was, because, like, when I used to go away with cadets, she knew I'd be home, like, 3-4 o'clock. So she would get, like, a Sunday roast on for me. And I've sort of walked through the door. She went, oh, your roast will be ready in a minute. And I sat down. She went, yeah, have a beer. But yeah,
I've been celebrating 2 days.
Not
by
when you were 11, right? She didn't say, how old were you when she said have a beer?
Oh, well, I mean, my grandma used to give me
Whiskey when you had a bad tooth? Mine did too.
No. I used to give us Guinness on a Sunday, even when I was like 10, 11 years old.
Good. Stout. We'd get a bit of stout in you.
A little bottle of stout, mate. Yeah.
A bit of stout, yeah.
It's pretty amazing that no one did. You're right, James, that no one spoilt that for you. Can you remember the first time that you really felt the hurt? Like, as a kid, I think we feel losing in a different way to being adults. Like, what was the first game that really crushed you and you realized that you have this love for this club?
It was the 1980 FA Cup final. And so, I mean, we had my, like I say, because I was brought up in Ilford. So was lots of West Ham. Lots of West Ham, unfortunately.
That was a brutal final, yeah.
My sort of road, you know, every other house had like a West Ham poster up in the window. And there was three households that had Arsenal posters up. And I made my own Arsenal posters up and stuck them on my window. But yeah, when we lost the 1980, I was sitting on me, watched it with my granddad. Trevor Brooking scored. I started crying. He smacked me around the back of the head, called me a big girl's blouse. And I've never really got that much upset about losing ever since.
Can I just explain for everyone in the chat room what VHS means? Because we all know what it means. Exactly what I said to Lee, I'll explain. VHS is a form of video recording that we didn't even have chance to set it. We had to press play and record with our fingers sometimes.
Do you remember?
That was Betamax, wasn't it? And then Betamax was before. We would be able to get a remote control at the telly like this and have to set it. And it then went VHS to DVD. So that's how you can sort of understand that VHS were videotapes.
Do you remember when they introduced the timer on the VHS recorders and you could actually set the timer?
Yeah, you didn't have to come down and press stop.
Yeah.
Honestly, kids do not know they're born with what they've got today.
Next week on the Highbury Squad, we'll be talking you through boomboxes and cassette tapes.
Oh, they'll never know the pain on a Sunday night trying to record the top 40 and having to press stop every advert and making sure you do not miss number one. They do not get it.
They download
a song on their phone and it's there.
I always had to pee when it got to the top three. I was like, so always gutted. I'd time it.
I'd get my fingers to play and recall just to get it on right at the moment.
I love it.
Then one night, my tape ran out. It was too late. I missed the whole song. I couldn't find one.
I mean, oh my God, we're going to do a technology episode in sports for sure.
Yeah, I'll do James, really well on that one.
So that's your heartache. We did our underrated players the other day, but who's your favorite all time, before we get to kind of some other games and stuff like that, who's your favorite all time Arsenal player?
It's a hard one. It's really hard. I mean, as a kid, I wanted to be Paul Merson. Do you know what I mean? Paul Merson was, I mean, I loved all the boys coming through in that era. Do you know what I mean? I'm super excited about Super Kev. And obviously excited about David Hillier because he used to work with his old man and obviously loved Tony Adams to death. But I don't know, there's just something about Merson that I just sort of liked as a kid. I liked the way he played and carried himself. And, you know, I mean, I think the funniest one was we got a corner and Merson's took the corner and it's gone out for a corner at the other side. So he's run over and he's took the corner from the other side. And then he's gone out the other side. So he's run back. And he's looking at us, and we're all laughing. And he's like, put his hands up as if to say, I'm knackered. Just like running backwards and forwards to take these bloody corners sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? And then obviously you go into sort of Dennis Bergkamp was an absolute genius. I love Vieira. Love Petit. Love Donnery. Obviously, Ian Wright. There's just too many. Unfortunately, there's not been that many since we moved to the bowl.
I think what we should do, actually, because people really struggle when they ask what your number one player is. Maybe we should do our first 11 of favourite players, because Tony Adams will always be in it. But then you've got Bergkamp. And then you got Omri and Wrighty and him. And, you know, there's always players that you want in it. I could never tell you one. Never.
No. Well, I wouldn't be in your team, PG.
You would. You'd be in the reserves, babe. I'd bring you on.
Thank you.
You'd be on the sub bench.
Super sub.
Yeah.
Super sub. Super Kev.
So what? So you. It's hard to pick your favourite player, but we know your best, your biggest heartache. It was West Ham 80. Mm. What's the best game you never went to? So if you couldn't be there, but it was a great game, and then we'll get to the best game you ever went to. But like for me, I think for different reasons, the best game I never went to because I was working at the time was the 2014 FA Cup final, and the fact that we had won a trophy, the first time we'd won it since the 2005 against United. That was like the greatest game I'd never been to because the relief of it all was just like, oh my God, it's like everyone stuck a pin in us and all the air came out. What's your greatest game you never went to?
Obviously, apart from the obvious,
Anfield 89. Yeah.
I did go Anfield that season. I was 16 and I went up to Anfield on my own midweek for the 1-1 League Cup game, to which the late great.
But what's the best game that Arsenal played that you never were able to go to, but it was an amazing game?
I wish I'd gone to the 94 Cup Winners' Cup final.
Yeah, I was going to say that's mine as well.
I think that's probably the one because
I didn't go either.
The stories from the off the pitch match the sort of what happened on the pitch, and that's like in my. Yeah, it was my age. If I could go back and choose any game throughout our history, obviously the Fairs Cup win at Highbury, then you've got the 71 win to do the double at the Lane, which my dad and granddad both went to. They both took the day off and got in that game. So, yeah, I mean, for ones that are in my lifetime, it would be the 94 Cup Winners' Cup final for any time ever. It would have had to have been at the Lane in 71.
That's a good one. You know, I have a question I wanted to ask you three, and I didn't tell Casey and Amanda about this, but I was thinking about this as I was writing some stuff down for you, Gav.
Mm-hmm.
Winning the league at White Hart Lane, for me, is up there with escaping on that last game when the Invincibles won the league and Anfield 89 for so many different reasons, the euphoria and the happiness of it. And sometimes I feel like it gets a little bit not overshadowed in terms of the greatest games. But were you there that day when we won the league at White Hart Lane? Do you remember that at all? Or where were you? And where does it rank for you with the two big ones I mentioned? I'd love Casey and Amanda to chime in on that one too, because we've never really talked about it.
I was deliriously happy in a pub somewhere. I'll be honest with you, I couldn't even tell you where I was. It might have been the Woodbine. That was just great. But like I say, because we've done it there before, it almost took the shine off it. But we've done it there twice, and obviously the rib taking of the fact that we've done it with their captain on our team. I mean, that was just a monumental lunatic season, really. There was such a good bunch in the Woodbine that year, and the surrounding years around that when Debbie was running the pub, and it was just a brilliant time, just a brilliant few years of absolute Arsenal drunkenness and behaviour, really.
Yeah,
that's just sort of topped it off, really.
KC, when you think about the achievement of what the club did that season, and let alone then you go to White Hart Lane and you win it, I mean, there's some for the newer generation, like Amanda's is the Anfield 89, and for you as well. But that moment was like, I mean, and we're the only club that probably done it at three times against United, Tottenham, and Liverpool.
And
incredible.
Chelsea.
Yeah, I think that obviously the bragging rights mean so much to fans, don't they? You know, to be able to brag and say we've done it at your gaff. I think that's really important to have that joker, those three aces in your back pocket. But against your biggest rival, it's the sweeter one. It is the sweetest one because we know what that lot down the lane are like. And to put another nail in their coffin with Sol Campbell in the team, as Gav says, you know, and that great team and the way they'd done it as well, playing
done it with style,
yeah, done it with incredible football and goals, and just we were just superior to them. You know what I mean? We just were superior. So it's always sweet.
Were you there, Amanda, on that?
No,
that game?
But really interesting. I loved it more at Old Trafford. I don't know why, because I hate Spurs with a passion. But that day, I don't know why or for whatever reason, I was with my Spurs friends. And I don't know why I was. I was with a couple. We watched the game. I bet 2-2. I never win anything. So when it went 2-2, they went jumping around the room. And I went, you do realise we've still won, don't you? Went, what, what? Exactly what Omri did with, what's his name, on the pitch. And I just sat there and went, like, into shock, to be honest, because we've won it 71-2004. We've won it more times than they've won it at the Lane. It's just, yeah. it's just so Spurs. And let them get on with whatever progress they're doing now, but they don't win the league.
I think Pramod's kind of capturing what you're saying, PG. They were so good at the time, weren't they?
They were so good. And I love the fact that Henry did what Henry did. And the fact that Sol Campbell when it's at the Lane, and I wasn't there. I could not get a ticket for love nor money. And to be honest, I probably would have been a bit nervous going, because I've been to Spurs at least 30 times in my life. And I've said since the last time 3 years ago when I went and I was involved in trouble, I was scared for my life and I vowed never to go back. The only way I'll go back is if I'm with my Spurs friends in the Spurs end. And to be honest, I don't want to do that. I did that when I was a teenager. But no, I don't want to. I think I'd have been very nervous, because coming out of Spurs, let me tell you, is just, there's one way out. The Emirates is completely different. They don't have any trouble at the Emirates. But coming out of Spurs, and I know quite a few high people up there, and I was in the middle of it. And helicopters are above us the night. I'm not going to say what night it was, but it was a night at Spurs. And I'm just going to go into it slightly slowly. They didn't believe what they were reading in the press, but I said, then you ring me, because I was in it. I was at the front of the bloody line. And I saw I was involved, you know, like I was trying to get out of everything. And they were horrified what I went through. And I said, you sometimes should believe what you are hearing. But so I would have been nervous going that day, especially winning it there, and especially with Sol Campbell in the team. Oh, my life. But I still, as much as I hate Spurs, and I had this conversation with someone yesterday about rivalry, when Wiltord scored that goal at Old Trafford, I went more mental than when we won it with the Invincibles. I don't know why, but I went through the roof. Because Man United are better than Spurs. They were at that time. They were our rivals, football rivals, not rivalry, but football rivals. And to go to Old Trafford and beat them, we often went to Spurs and beat them, you know. So Spurs is just funny.
They didn't beat us for about 9 years. They didn't beat us for about 9 years on the trot. And it was sort of at the point where there was no sort of edge on the fact that we thought we was going to go into that game and lose. Whereas going up to Old Trafford,
there's
always a chance that we're going to get completely stuffed up there. So it was, I think that's why really there's the difference, because Tottenham, we were so much better than Tottenham for a decade, for about 9-10 years. We absolutely trounced them every time we played them. Every now and then they'd get a draw out of us, but we absolutely trounced all over them for about 9-10 years. So it wasn't much of a shock. Look, we went up there and we only needed a draw and we got the draw. It's
very true what he's just said.
We had gone through a period, though, where we hadn't beat Spurs before that. You know that game at Highbury where I think it was 95-96 season or 96-97, that Ian Wright by the corner flag lobs it over into the box and Bergkamp takes that deft touch and he just buries it, and we beat them 3-1, I think it
3-1.
was.
3-1, yeah.
Before that game, we hadn't beaten them in two or three seasons. And you guys can correct me if I'm wrong. And then after that, you're right, Gav. It just kind of like it went on from there. Let's go. Let's move on. You're listening to the Highbury Squad. We have Gav from She War here with us today, talking a little bit nostalgia and how he became an Arsenal fan. And this will move in nicely to kind of what the brilliant work he's doing at She War and some of the stuff that you're able to get there inspired by Arsenal Football Club. Your favourite kit, which I believe is a little bit what Amanda showed us at the beginning of the show before we came on air. I'm guessing this is your favourite kit because it's definitely infused in your brand.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I mean, the Bruce Banana kit, it divided opinion at the time. A lot of the sort of youngsters absolutely loved it. And a lot of the older lot absolutely despised it. So it was, it really was a 50-50. But I mean, when you go back and look at videos of that season, you do see quite a large number at a time where lots of people didn't wear colours to football, especially on away games. You do see quite a lot of the Bruce Banana kits in the terraces. So yeah, the Bruce Banana kit absolutely loved it. I wore mine to death. I think I used to wear it down the pub, and I used to wear it to work all day before I went to a game that night or whatever. You know, it was just an iconic difference. And as much as Adidas are trying to replicate that buzz about that kit, and they just keep failing, they keep overdoing it a little bit. Do you know what I mean? That they would love to pull out another Bruce Banana kit, but they're just not getting it right, unfortunately. Adidas.
Can I just say, Gav, though, just before we get into the She War shop and everything, didn't we do a pod years ago, or have I got that wrong? Have we never done a pod together?
We have, yeah. I didn't get a word in edgeways.
You're such a liar.
That's about right. That's
shocker.
About right.
I've got your back tonight, Kev, mate.
Nice
don't worry.
One, Gav.
You're going to nice regret one, Gav. This, Gav. So what pod was it? What one?
I think we done either very early a Burkamp Wonderland one with Danny, or we might have done one with a fella called Steve Bold.
Yeah, well, that Steve is Danny. Bold. That's where we...
That's where I'm. Yeah,
oh, okay.
That's,
yeah, that's how
it
I
might
came
have been
to
that.
Do
that
podcast.
He was sort of like Steve Bold was sort of he done one called the Steve Bold Collective, BALD, and he was one of the first to start doing podcasts.
He hired me. He found me out.
Yeah.
So, Gav, did you do the live show at the Gunners Pub?
Oh God, yeah.
That's where I met you.
That's the first time I met you. Yeah, me and my mate Binsey sat on the end of a table. It was a bit of a shit show. And me and my mate Binsey just got on the beer all day. Binsey's a very well-known Arsenal boy and a good mate. And me and him sat on the edge of the table and we was well steaming.
So, okay, so I thought we had. Now, tell me, let's go to your shot. How did you start all this?
It might be easier to, if you want to do it in chronological order, basically... I started working for this firm around 96 and they had a sort of like a barbecue summer party, which we got invited to, and they had a PC indoors. And I was all like, oh, I mean, because even while I'm working in an office, no one's got computers. So they were showing me how this computer works. And this must have been about 96, 97. And they put me on a football chat room. So I spent about 2 hours chatting away, typing football and, you know, giving Arsenal insults to anybody who weren't Arsenal on this chat room. So I then saved up my wages and Christmas, I bought myself a PC. So I bought myself a PC and, yeah, because it had to be connected to the phone line. I had to connect it all up in my mum's kitchen, right? And, yeah, so just purely for the sole reason, just to talk Arsenal and abuse other football supporters. That's why I bought a PC. And eventually I ended up in logging on to a football website called Arse Online. And basically, that was part
of what
I'm
sure it was a football website.
Yeah, I know you, Gav. Well,
Matt, wrong with a bit of arse. Come on.
A bit of arse online, yeah. And but, you know, but basically, I started chatting on there on that message board, and then slowly computers were introduced into the office that I worked in, and I would go on the message board when I was at work and sort of started to sort of get to know these other Arsenal supporters, other reprobates, and we used to spend all day chatting. And this was on the Rivals Network, and how the Rivals Network was set up was they had an individual website for every single club where you could log in and chat on the message board all day. But also in this network, you could go on to other people's sites. So we would like go on the Tottenham website message board and leave them a load of abuse, and we'd go on the Chelsea website and leave them a load of abuse. And that's what we did all day for about 4 or 5 years. And there was only, like I said, there wasn't loads of us. There was only about sort of 20 Arsenal on there. And I'm still good mates with most of them now. And a couple of them, I try and meet up every time we go games and everything. And so, yeah, we're all still mates. But basically what happened was the fella that the actual network Rivals got bought out by Sky TV. And they changed the message board and just changed all the format, and nobody liked it. And the fella that ran the Arsenal one, a fella called Ike, he decided that he wasn't going to do the Arsenal stuff anymore. So we was all sort of, you know, 20 blokes who chat rubbish to each other all day, who barely knew each other. We had nowhere to talk. And at the time, I didn't have a job. So I said, well, look, I'll investigate and I'll sort us out a new place where we can just chat rubbish to each other all day. And so I found another sort of network like Rivals, which was called Fans Online, and we needed a name. And half of us used to go Clock End, half used to go North Bank, half were in the East Stand, so we couldn't name it after a stand. So I said, well, why don't we call it She Wore? Because of obviously the connotations about it's our FA Cup final song, and obviously the slight hooligan element that name used to do in the 80s as well. And so that's how She Wore started. I used to write a blog a lot more than I write blogs at the moment because I'm dyslexic and lazy. So that's how the She Wore started up. And then from there, when Facebook started, I set up a little Facebook page. And you got to know more people. You got to know more people's faces, etc. And one of the gents that I know, he was good friends with somebody at Islington Boxing Club. And at the time, Islington Boxing Club needed to raise funds because somebody was suing them for access to their property, blah, blah, blah. So I started helping them raise funds, because it's the right thing to do. And I'm still very, very good mates and hopefully quite close with Islington Boxing Club now. But basically, the fella that is the events manager now at Islington Boxing Club, one of his mates sells badge bins. He sells badge bins for all the clubs all over the country. He's an Arsenal fella. And, you know, like, so if you've been in a pub over Arsenal and a fella's come round with a board with all the badge pins on, they're my mate's badge pins.
I've bought a few of those, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, anyway, so...
So, Gav, let me jump in here real quick. How many of your, say, for example, like the Bruce Banana kit inspired your brand and a lot of what you do, and obviously KC wore that kit. How much of, and KC to wear the most iconic kit, hello, I mean, that's forever indelible in your heart. How much did the players inspire some of what you've done with your brand or with some product that you've got out there for She Wore?
Not a great deal, to be honest with you. A lot of what I do is nostalgia. It is stuff that I would have bought off a stall in the 80s. It's like, I mean, the For example, the design that Amanda's wearing tonight on that lovely hoodie, when I was sort of like 12, 13, you'd go down the market and all the market stalls would be having that sort of design, but with Arsenal and Pride of London underneath it. So, I mean, that's where that design come from. It's just sort of a throwback to the old sort of Lonsdale, yeah, Arsenal, Pride of London. And every, you know, you go to a market stall and they'd have every single club would have, you know, they'd have every single club up on there. Obviously, I'm very inspired by the clock at Arsenal. Because, like I say, that's where my family have always stood under. And just Highbury itself, really. I mean, you couldn't do merchandise inspired by the Emirates, could you? Let's be honest.
No.
Because, you know, like I say, obviously the FA Cup wins aside, but we haven't had any
success,
players.
Yeah, real success, yeah.
We haven't had real success. We haven't had any players that have actually been globally loved. You know, it's still, I mean, the biggest selling name for it, if you was to do anything, is Henri Wrighty-Burkamp. And that's by miles above, you know, no offence to any Arsenal player, but the, you know, their worth and their value is 10 times more than everybody else put together.
If you had to pick a player, I guess, from the Emirates era, I mean, it's hard to kind of, I mean, it would have been RVP if he'd have stayed, and Fabregas, and, you know, I think it's hard. Santi Cazorla, I think, comes in the icon cult hero category, you know, because he was just so beloved, and obviously his injuries kind of caught up with him, but then he went to La Liga, a slower pace, but did really well
as well.
He can't now, not after playing that piano for United.
No,
I think
he can
out.
Then RVP can't, can he?
We never played the piano. I think Sanchez and RVP kind of fall into a different category just because of the manner in which they left. And RVP is also in our top 10 high scorers of all time, so maybe he gets a little bit of a pass. Loki here says clock end. I've got one for you. Do you guys remember what year the clock end was renovated?
Yeah, 92, 93.
I think it's earlier than that.
Is it?
It
well, the
is.
Clock end
80...
box is
earlier than that. It's
no, you're right. Eight...
It's earlier.
You're right.
Wasn't anyone in chat can tell us before someone in the show tells us the year?
Hold on.
That...
No,
because I think it's mid-80s.
No, it weren't mid-80s, because the game that was unveiled was we played Tottenham and we beat Tottenham 2-0 when George Graham and Terry Venables unveiled the clock on it. So it must have been 88, 89. It's around there, that sort
of
time.
It's the most iconic year for Arsenal is 89. It was in 89,
So I know we beat Tottenham 2-0 its first game.
Do you remember going there at that time, Amanda? Obviously, KC. It was a bit. It was weird. It was when all, you know, obviously a lot had happened in football, you know, the whole standing thing, but also, you know, just seeing some stadiums like that. Now that stadiums are empty, you go back to kind of thinking about those times where complete stands were empty when clubs were renovating stuff.
Well, the funniest one was the North Bank when they put the mural up.
Yeah.
I sat on the east stand at the North Bank side, if you know what I mean. So it was so strange having painted faces there. But what can you do? You know, they're renovating.
It was interesting. It was always interesting. Do you remember the Stamford Bridge, how awful that used to be back in the day where they had the car park behind
the goals?
Was it the shed? It wasn't the shed
it was
end.
An
it was
absolute
the...
shithole.
It was.
It was.
Which brings me on to, and I want you both to answer this, all of you to answer this. We talked about it inside the dressing room with Mickey Gray, but your best and worst away stadiums. Go on, Gav.
Right. The game that I used to look forward to the most going away to was Upton Park. You knew exactly what you was getting at Upton Park. You knew there was going to be abuse. You knew the old bill were going to land you at some point as well. You knew the atmosphere was going to be absolutely blinding. And like I say, it was the away game it's the away ground that I've been to the most. Used to never miss going West Ham away. West, and it was, I mean, I've obviously got a few West Ham mates. They're all season tickets over there bowling Stratford. And I told them, you know, I told them when they was leaving Upton Park, you're going to regret this. And they do. You know, half my mates absolutely despise going over West Ham. They still bloody turn up just because they like a moan. They're like us when it comes to moaning. But, yeah, no, Upton Park was such a lovely, lovely, old school, old fashioned, in your face day out. It was lovely. The worst, and again, I've been there a couple of times, but I've really got good memories of it, even though it was a complete shithole. The old Dell at Southampton, and you had
I've never been there.
You had that.
We had to walk down the stairs.
Oh no, I didn't.
Oh, don't
in the corner.
Do you see, I mean, like I say, the away section there was so skinny,
yeah,
and you couldn't move. There's rivers of piss running down the terrace, right, where people just used to have a wee where they're standing because you couldn't get anywhere near the toilets, right? But again, like I say, I was there when the Rocky Wrighty game, when we won 4-1 and Rocky got one and Wrighty got three,
yeah,
and. Do you know what I mean? But I mean, I've got such fond memories of going there. I think one game I was so stoned I don't remember what happened. But it was, that's another story. That you know, we all turned up in our bruised banana kits after sitting in my mate's
this one, Capri, Barry's right here,
down from London.
Yeah, it was.
And we all got stoned.
Your Capri. Do you know that the Capris have made a comeback? They're collectible cars now. The Capri
They're worth a fortune.
They should be.
Yeah.
Always were really stylish, weren't they?
Love the Capri. If you don't know what that is, guys, it's
Ford Capri.
Such a cool car.
I don't think you've lived unless you've spent a whole afternoon getting stoned in a Capri going Southampton and back. I don't think you've lived.
Plough Lane has come up, Fulham's come up as one of the best, Selhurst Park, Newman saying you wouldn't take his dog for a walk on the pitch. Selhurst Park back in the day was rough, man, still is.
Hold on, you're talking about for rough or the fact that it was just
all encompassing, PG.
No, it's everything.
Oh, I went to Fulham and I didn't like it, but not for the fans are lovely in Fulham. Mm. I've never been to the Den actually.
The old Den.
I never went there. I think in the time that I was going, I think we've only played there twice. And I don't know why I never went either. I don't have no idea. That's what I mean, because sometimes the away games got interrupted with my sort of like the army cadet stuff I used to do. So some games I just didn't go to in that time period sort of thing. So
what about great away places? I mean, obviously, you know, people are throwing in the atmosphere at Old Trafford, the overlord of procrastination here added that. A listener here loves Carrow Road, Duncan.
I've been there.
Carrow Road's fun. Road's nice. Yeah. What about for you, mate?
What, far away places?
Yeah, fun.
I actually really enjoyed Sunderland. Done Sunderland a couple of times. That's nice. Newcastle is just an absolute mare getting up them stairs. I don't ever want to go Newcastle again. Unless they can guarantee me I can get in the lift. And I'm in one of the first.
I've heard that. You sit in the sky, don't you?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been there twice. And, I'll tell you, this the second time, you're just up in the sky. And it's just so much of a march up the stairs. It's unbelievable. You're knackered before you sit down. And then you're thinking, you're watching the game thinking, I've got to climb down these bloody stairs after this. And it puts you right off. But like I say, they used to put you in the corner. In the corner on the lower tier. And I remember going up. I went all the way up there for an FA Cup game. And I think it was 0-0. Went all the way up there to get chased by a police dog into Newcastle train station for a 0-0. Yeah, no, horrible play.
I went to Coventry. I can't remember the name of their ground.
Highfield Road,
yeah, that was a bit. And the West Brom was a bit, but then West Brom, I went VIP. It's very different when you go VIP. It's completely different.
Can I ask Kev a question?
Yes.
I've always wondered this. Kev, have you got like a, did you have a ground, like I say, I mean, obviously, you know, you had You had Highbury and you had Goodison. Goodison was actually brilliant back in the day when that was before that went all seater. But did you have like an away ground that you actually thought, I fancy myself here today, I like this ground? Was there any that you warmed to like straight away?
No, not really. I mean, I always seem to score at St James's Park. Always seem to score there, but I mean, that's going when I was on loan at Leicester. I scored there, and when I was at Everton, I scored there, etc. But I remember after the Cup Winners' Cup final, going up there, myself, Dave Seaman, we'd had injections in to play in the final. So I couldn't play at St James's Park. I badly wanted to play. And I think we ended up losing that day. But, you know, we'd already won the cup, so it was all right. But, yeah, I think Newcastle's always a good place because the Geordies love their football.
Yeah, if I flip that, was there a ground that you ever felt intimidated in?
No.
Or you thought, I don't really fancy this here?
Never. No. The more hostile, the better, if I'm honest.
Yeah?
Yeah, the more hostile, the better.
Do you remember when Millwall came to Highbury? Were you playing then in the cup or something?
That was 88. Was that 88?
I remember them coming outside the Marble Hall and it was scary.
Was that 90?
No, it was 80s. Sure it was, Kev.
No chance. Because Wrighty was there. No chance.
Yeah, Wrighty. Sorry.
It couldn't have been. So.
No. It must have been early 90s.
93, I think, or 92, 93, one of them years.
It literally, Avenel Road, it literally, fans on both sides just went like that and they came up and we just, one person told me to get in the front garden of the house because it was going to, it's beyond poison and it's ridiculous and whatever. But right, so we haven't got long, Gav, so come on, tell us about your new venture, your book, your quiz book.
Yeah, basically, I mean, when the first lockdown come, the fellow that writes the majority of my blogs at the moment, Daniel Keane, he said, why don't you do like a live quiz on Facebook on a Friday, just to sort of take people's minds off it. And me and him would sit there during the week and we would write sort of 30, 40 questions each. And we would write a quiz out and I'd go on Facebook Live and between the questions, I'd play a bit of ska, play a bit of old school music, etc. And just having a laugh with it. And we asked people to donate to NHS charities and I think it raised about £1,500. People put a couple of quid in each time, blah blah blah. And then once we stopped doing that, we done it for about 7-8 weeks on a Friday we done it for. And then so by the end of it we've got all these questions and they're all fact checked. I had to say that carefully, right? because obviously if you're running a quiz for the sort of like, there was a regular hardcore sort of 50, 60 people that used to do this quiz every week sort of thing. And so, if you get one of the questions and answers wrong, you're going to get hammered for it. So we knew all the questions were all right. And so I spoke to Legends Publishing, who do a lot of books for sort of, for football writers, for bloggers. If if you've got a book idea or whatever, you want, you put it to them, etc. And so I put it to him. He wasn't too keen. So I said, right, okay, well, tell me how much it is to produce 300 of them. I'll buy them, and we'll put all the money to charity. So that's what we did. Imagine a dyslexic who left school at 15. And I've got my name on the front cover of a bloody book.
Which is
cool, yeah. And we on the pre-sale sale, we've sold about 200 of them, I think, have sold already. So there's 100 left. If they all sell out, there's a good lump of money going to NHS charities, which I'm sure everybody plugs into. My little plug on this is I've set up a little shop to replicate what I do just in America because the shipping costs from the UK to America are an absolute joke at the moment. So I'm slowly replicating what I do in the UK with my partners in America, who are both mad Arsenal supporters. They're part of the Gulf Arsenal Supporters Club down there in the Florida Keys sort of area. And yeah, so what I'm doing is I'm sending a batch over to America so that they can, if anybody in America wants one, they can get one and they're not paying stupid money to get it exported across the ocean. And yeah, and it's going up on the She War shop, and it's selling nicely. You know, hopefully they'll sell out before Christmas, and it's raised a few quid. And like I say, it's a hardback. There's 300 questions on there. There's some funny categories as well as sort of normal categories as well. There's like 10 questions on Arsenal players who have been arrested for various reasons over the years. There's, you know, questions on who scored the most goals out of, for example, you know, Giroud or Walcott. So it's just a fun book. I mean, if you was ever running an Arsenal quiz, then that's your book. If we're ever allowed to go away games again and you take that book with you, you'll keep your mates occupied for 2-3 hours on the train.
Yeah.
With that. Do you know what I mean? It's just the ideal little... And again, I mean, I'd sort of... One of the fellas that was regular on there was an American lad, and every Friday he was on there, and he'd message me in the week, and we'd become mates just purely over this quiz. And he said, he goes, the amount of stuff he's learning about the club and the amount of information and knowledge he's soaking up by doing these quizzes. I mean, he used to get his ass kicked on the quiz. You know, he was getting sort of like, you know, ones out of tens every round. Do you know what I mean? But he said he's learnt so much about the history of Arsenal and the history of Islington, and, you know, players from sort of like, going on from the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. It's a bit of a learning thing at the same time, really. That's how I'm looking at it. It's just a fun way of learning facts about Arsenal.
So where can people find the book?
Right, in the US, it will be shewarusa.com. And anywhere else in the world, shewarshop.com.
All right. Awesome. Okay, cool. So everyone's kind of in chat saying that they haven't seen KC or Amanda this quiet for a while in a show. So I was thinking maybe what you could do is ask them a question from your book real quick before we go. And then I'll monitor the chat and see who answers it first, KC, Amanda, or the chat group. Throw one quick one out there. How about that?
I'm useless at stuff like this. Oh, my God.
I know, and I've got nothing prepared either.
Okay, then don't worry about it. Don't worry about that then. Let's give one away. Let's give something away. What do you want to give away? Let's get the chat room to pipe up here and answer something real quick, because we're going to have to let you go in a minute.
Okie dokie.
Look, you're already selling a book. James has added the book to his cart now. He's asking if it's some people are asking if it's on YouTube. Maybe we can do a fun holiday quiz at some point. But what do you want to give away? Let's let the audience know. Well, what do you want to give away?
Well, should we do one book for the US?
Yep.
And then one book for the rest of the world.
Okay.
So I'm trying to think. I'll tell you what.
You can put them out on Twitter as well. We can do the question on Twitter. But let's give one away for the chat, guys, because they deserve it, our chats.
Mm.
Let's give them a question, and we can then, depending on where in the world they are, we'll send them the book. How about that?
Well, okay. This is what anybody who knows me might actually know this. My favourite game at Highbury. If anybody can name my favourite game at Highbury, I haven't mentioned the game in the pod tonight, but if they can mention the final game in Highbury, my favourite game at Highbury.
How's that going to know that?
Let's see what they do. You never know. They're quite smart. What do you think his favourite game at Highbury is?
Well, I'm watching the chat. I would like to guess
and give them a get and see if anyone gets it going. But I think I'm going to put it in our WhatsApp group.
I can't
read
that.
Someone has said Arsenal versus Liverpool. Someone's put Arsenal Everton.
Which?
Someone's put Tony Adams. The final one. Hold on. The final one, Everton when Adams scored. Wigan, the final game, winning the league in 98. Adams scored. Any of these, Gav?
lot of them go earlier. Go earlier.
Earlier than those people.
Check the, I think I got it right in our WhatsApp group.
Right, I'm, hold on. Okay. Well, maybe you need to message Gav before I say anything.
I can't, because if I press WhatsApp, then
let me guess. I'm right. Up and then they can type it. Quickest person to type it. Is it Ian Wright breaking Cliff Bastin's record?
No.
Winning the league versus Everton?
No.
Arsenal but Spurs? But
that was on the right track.
Okay. Henry Great one when he put Carragher on his bum?
No, but good.
Wigan, Arsenal 4, Liverpool 2, 2004. Okay, I'll tell you what we need to do. I think you need to give the year.
Oh.
Someone's put V Newcastle, righty breaking the
score. Is it a North London derby?
No.
No, it was 89.
It was against a team from the Midlands who played in Sky Blue.
What, Coventry?
Winning the league in 91.
Yep, six, that's the one.
Six, Kev, one. You're not, I'm just saying.
Kev wins the book.
I want the book. I want the book.
Right, the first one to say it was the real captain, Arsenal versus Coventry.
There you go. He wins it.
The real captain.
Get their name and address and I'll...
The real captain, you need to DM us at the Highbury Squad on Twitter, okay? If you're listening.
But seriously.
I was first, yes. The real captain, yes. You were.
Really, KC was first.
I wanted the book.
As you said, you go on discounts and anything. You go and buy one. We're all going to buy one.
I will buy one. I'll buy Gav's merchandise anyway.
So why?
Keep your nose out.
You haven't got one of those, though, have you?
No, I don't want one of those because I don't have an iPhone 12.
It was a real thing.
It's not an iPhone, it's a Samsung.
Like
so I definitely don't want one then.
Look, there's our chat.
I didn't, Kev, I had no idea you was buying my stuff.
Well,
I've had no idea whatsoever.
There you go.
Know your customer, Gareth. Gavin, know your customer.
Well, he knows me.
Yeah. It's been great having you. Our next question for the other book we're going to put out on Twitter, and we'll put it out when the link goes up for the replay of the show as well. So look out, we'll be giving another one up. And yeah, Lowski, put the beer down or put the cocktail down. You know, type your answer. Maybe next time you'll win. And yes, real captain, DM us and you will get your book, and maybe we can get it signed by someone. Who knows? We'll see.
I'll sign it.
Like I say, I don't think anybody wants my scribble on the inside of one of them books.
I would listen to both of you. I mean, there's a legend in the room.
For
God's sake.
I'll do Kev's signature.
No, you signed it, Princess.
I've got your signature up here, haven't I?
That's on the T-shirt. You do.
Weirdly.
Oh God, that is too.
Gouda's girl. I will do Amanda Gouda's girl. You mean Gouda's girl?
Got it all wrong.
Right.
Tonight.
Oh, it's been really nice.
Thank you for having me.
No, Gav, top man, top man.
You've got to come and do a quiz with us as well. Oh, yeah,
lovely stuff.
She wash shop. I keep buying stuff.
If we do a quiz though, because you hate quizzes, we'll have to do it like a question of sport.
Yeah,
where you know we've got a couple of.
Well, so, I mean, I've got like a database of about 700 questions,
and
only 300 of them went in the book. So it is possible that we can sort of have a giggle whilst doing it, and I could pull out some fun questions, and I'll put up a couple of questions with Kevin, who he might not even know the answer, even though he's the answer and stuff like that. That could be quite fun.
I love those. Those are the best. Those are the best ones on a question of sport where they've got the athlete pickle in a pickle, and they're the answer. It's always
well.
Classic.
I think we should we get a team like our other halves or something, because there is a little bit of breaking news. Cole said he will come on the show finally. Ooh. I know.
Yay.
Don't faint, Kev. And if we do a quiz, he's definitely on my team. Definitely on my team.
We're not going to bring him on and put him on a quiz.
Then he can go.
No, we need to speak to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need to find out what it's like living with you.
Oh, it's a dream every day. That's what he'll say.
No, well, we want to hear him say it, not you.
Well, listen, Gav, you've been a superb guest, and thanks for sharing your stories with us. Yeah, tell everyone really where they can find your stuff, because you also have an Arsenal shirt shop too. So tell everyone where they can find your stuff. Listen, guys, it is the holiday season. Whoop-dee-woo, gifting.
Oh, it is for you, isn't it? It's Thanksgiving Thursday.
Well, Thanksgiving is more about giving thanks. You don't buy gifts, but you do if you go to someone's house, you take something. But it's the holiday season. Get your orders in now. Miss those extra shipping costs, and get shopping, everyone.
For the Americans, have a look on SheWoreUSA.com first. And like I say, we're getting there where I'm, replicating everything that I do on the UK store on the American store, but just simply because it just cost a fortune in shipping. It's the only reason, the only reason behind that at all. My main shop is SheWoreShop.com, and there's lovely little Christmas trees and Christmas cards and a few little other bits and pieces which go down well. And I'm so well backed by loads and loads of Arsenal supporters who just like what I put up and like what I produce. And I'm completely shocked and stunned that a little business which I started with our last 50 quid in the world, and now 7 years later we're a blinking limited company that has to pay VAT and shit like that. I'm honestly blessed and stunned and humbled and grateful. And
Gav, we don't only have American and English people that follow us. We have like people from India, Australia, places like that. So where is it best for them to order from? Africa. American or England?
No, England.
So it's best for them.
Yeah. The USA shop's only really for Americans to have a look on first, because it will save them money in the postage costs. But things like your mobile phone case, if you want to give it a wave.
Woohoo.
The company
modeled by me.
And the sweatshirt. Stand up again.
I can't be bothered. I'll just put this down.
On the door.
It's so nice and warm.
No. So, I mean, the company that produced my mobile phones, for example, and the company that are doing all the Christmas decorations, they've got an office in Australia. So Australians and New Zealanders can get that at a local rate shipping.
That's good.
They've also got an office in Italy, so again it'll be local rate shipping costs, which saves everybody a bit of money on the shipping. It just is what it is. I really enjoy it. And recently I've done a load of, this is probably the most mental idea I think I've ever done, was a couple of lads I know who dress up in lycra and tear around the countryside at weekends, said, do a cycle shirt. So I done a cycle shirt. Which was so popular. We've got a little WhatsApp group with 50 of us in there. Right?
Wow.
And we're all taking a mickey out of each other. Everyone's going out cycling at the weekends in their new clobber and all that. And we're going to do we're meeting up at the end of March. Everybody's coming down to a pub in March, and we're going to do a big cycle event in aid of Willow Foundation, hopefully sort of June, July time next year. Obviously COVID and weather blessing. It's just another sort of like little Arsenal community of cyclists that we've got together, and hopefully we can have a laugh and raise a few quid, and we're going to do a big cycle day and barbecue tunes. It's just amazing how you sort of get attached to people and get sort of going with this. But just immensely humbled and all that, really.
Family events, amazing. Gav. Family events.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, if we can get a big ride out, sort of like June, July time, and we can get a pub garden and we get everybody's families there, the boys can do like 25 or 50 miler. Then we'll get somebody in to play some tunes. We'll get some barbecue on and just literally have a sort of an Arsenal, a good old fashioned Arsenal social day, which also could raise a few quid for the Willow as well. So that's the plan with that. But like I say, it'd be great if you two and can turn up for that as well. Do you know what I mean? Because it's stuff like that that I sort of get a buzz out of doing.
Mm.
So I mean, it's sort of like when you're doing merchandise stuff, which I have for sort of 6 or 7 years, you think, when am I going to run out of ideas, or when am I going to run out of the excitement or the zest for sort of creating new stuff? But it's things like that just really rejuvenated me this year. You know, this weekend, I mean, I don't know about you lot, but my WhatsApp was filled with pictures of blokes in Lycra.
So, hello, what kind of
mine?
I want to join that group.
do you know what I mean?
Explain yourself.
Yeah, and the funniest one was like a few of them were saying, you know, we're driving around Hertfordshire and Middlesex and all that. We could get run over by a Tottenham supporter,
yeah?
Yeah. Like that, right? But a couple of lads said they had cars slowing down and shouting out the window, love your shirt, mate. Love your shirt, top shirt, mate. And go on the Arsenal. And they're getting like encouraged to keep fit, which is good for everybody's mental welfare and all that malarkey. So it's just probably the best thing I think I've done in the last few years.
Nice.
Until you put the Highbury Squad Limited Edition T-shirt together, of course.
Yes, I'll design it with you, Gav. Thank you so much for coming on. Oh, it's been so good.
No, honestly, thank you for having me. And if you want me back again, then just give me a shout. But like I say, hopefully we can, you know, perhaps do something once a month where we can give stuff away and have a giggle and whatever. That'd be nice. You tell me.
Well, yeah, like the DM stuff. Yeah, well, we'll build on that and we'll definitely do something. Especially, I think for the month of December, we could plan something really fun for the listeners for sure. That'd be great. Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. And your Christmas tree's in the post. So.
Ah, you're a darling. Thank you so much. I've already got my little spot for it right here in my little studio. So the Christmas tree will keep. Atomic Blonde, Charlize Theron company, right over here.
That's good. That's definitely good company.
Yeah. Well, look, thanks for joining us. And until tomorrow, we will be back tomorrow. The lockdown series continues here on the Highbury Squad. Super Kevin Campbell, we have a new Kevin Says recorded that will probably go out tomorrow now. That could well be the lockdown episode tomorrow. So watch out for a new episode of Kevin Says. Do you get pumped up in there like you did in the show the other night? Or is it more low-key? Haven't had a chance to watch it yet.
No, well, watch it and see.
All right. Okay, we'll watch it and see. Awesome. And until then, there's only one thing to say, Amanda.
Always Arsenal.